Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm. Matt out at PNC Bank in Fairlawn. Stop by, say hello with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, of course, driven by Liberty Ford. Folks, OBM, Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers. When it comes to Browns fans, their loyalty for our team is unconditional. Make your number one pick, the preferred document services provider of the Browns, OBM. With OBM's exclusive guarantees and their designation as the only Sharp Platinum level service provider in town, they've made unconditional fans out of all their customers. Only OBM has all the X's and O's for your office when putting together a Sharp products playbook for your business. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, back with you here on CBD, of course, driven by Liberty Ford. And we now are going to give you the way we would handle this crowded backfield, but we also want to see, hear from you on that. 216-578-0850. Matt, Ben Tate is back. What are you doing with this backfield going forward?
All right, Nathan, you know, you prefaced that we were going to do this, and so I took the time during the break to write it down. And again, taking into effect that we're going to be a run-first football team that sets up our play-action pass, what I did was I took into effect that we're going to run the ball 32 times a game.
Okay.
And I split those carries the best I could, which was really actually hard, amongst these three very talented backs. I have Ben Tate assuming that lead role again, and I have him on average getting about 14 carries a game. Next, I have Isaiah Crowell. You and I both agree on him, the type of player that he is, the way he runs that football, and that explosive aspect that he brings to the table. I have him hitting double digits at 10, which only leaves Terrence West, probably the most consistent runner in the backfield, still yet to bust a big run, but I have him at 8 carries. So it's the best I could, Nathan, to divide those 32 carries amongst three very talented backs.
All right, so as you look at this Browns team right now, Tate averaging 6.8 per carry on that limited action, Crowell 5.2, Terrence West 4.3. So I'm going to use your 32 carries. We're going to use that as the barometer, and here's how I would do it. If I was doing the 32 carries right now, I would give Ben Tate 18 of those 32 carries. I'd give him about 60% of the work here. I would give Isaiah Crowell the other 12 carries. So that's 30. I'm leaving two for Terrence West. I think this, you as a running back, you need to get into a rhythm. And if you split it up three ways, nobody's going to get into a rhythm. And right now my depth chart is Ben Tate is number one. Isaiah Crowell has leapfrogged Terrence West and is number two. And Terrence West is number three for me. And the reason I say that is I think Tate's going to end up playing about 65% of the snaps, maybe more, because I think he's going to be in there on all third downs and all passing situations. And so I think you're going to see his snap count be at about that 66% level. For me, I would rather give Isaiah Crowell guaranteed double-digit carries per game at the expense of West. And it's not anything that West has or has not done. I know ultimately he went the wrong way on that play with Brian Hoyer that ended up being a busted play and potentially could have been a game impactor. But I just see Crowell as the more explosive of the backs. I see Crowell as more of the home run hitter of the backs and a guy who, if you continue to feed him, will deliver. And I think Terrence West might be the best big back that we've got. But listen, Crow's touched the ball 4 times in the red zone. He has 3 touchdowns. Ben Tate has always been a very good short yardage running back as well. So I'd rather have 2 guys that I feel can get in a real rhythm than really kind of divvy it up amongst 3 of them. And if something were to change where, let's say, Ben Tate were to get injured again, then I would bump Crow up to that 18 to 20 level and Terrence West to that 10 to 14 level going forward. That's just how I see it. And Terrence West is a darn good football player. I just think Isaiah Crowell is a special talent the way he runs the ball. Mike Pettine has kind of said that he has blown their mind. You know, they expected him to come in and have a redshirt year to get acclimated, and all he's done is get better every single week. And I think that's where I was kind of coming into looking at this from a coaching standpoint. Somebody's going to be unhappy. I think if you split it up three ways where it's 14 for Tate, you know, 10 for Crowell, and 8 for West, I don't know that anybody's happy. And I think if you can get guys a lot of love, I'd rather do that and have one guy be the odd man out than necessarily divvy it up too much to the point where nobody ever gets in a rhythm.
No, I think you're right, Nathan, and that's a great point. What I kind of took into effect was, you know, over the course of the next 13 games, the percentage of reps that I thought guys would get, that was taking into effect also, too, that Ben Tate has already missed time with injury.
And could again.
Would not surprise me if it happened again. And the other thing that I do think would happen by getting Isaiah Crowell more carries, as we said, because of the type of runner he is and because of his explosiveness, is the fact that we're going to see a lot more true eight-man stop the run boxes with Isaiah Crowell in the game, as opposed to defensive schemes that I've been a part of that can kind of, you know, about 7.5 or play a 7-man box against runners like Ben Tate or Terrence West. So that's two things that will work to our advantage with Isaiah Crowell getting a larger chunk of those reps, because Brian Hoyer would then be throwing against an 8-man box and being able to divvy and audible out of some situations to be able to put the ball in the air, as opposed to running into an 8-man box regardless of who the running back is.
And I actually, if teams want to go and put 8-man box in there when Crow comes in, I'm fine with it, because, you know, you've heard interviews with LaDainian and you've heard interviews with Adrian Peterson, guys who are explosive the way that Crow is explosive. And when you have an 8-man box, if he gets to that second level and Crow gets there quickly, he's gone. He's gone. If you can get through that second level,
there's no doubt, Nathan.
That's the danger in an 8-man box against a guy that explosive. So I welcome that, because it also sets up a lot off of play action for this Browns team. I think I'm at the point now that if Ben Tate were to get hurt again, Isaiah Crowell is my starter, and Isaiah Crowell is handling the majority of my work. And again, this Terrence West is a very good player, and he hasn't done anything wrong. And I think that's a tough thing in the NFL when you've come out, you've run for 204 yards in just three games in your young career, and you've looked pretty darn good doing it. But the other guy just looks a little bit better to me right now. And again, it's like I said, this is nothing against Terrence West. I just think that's the way that I would divvy it up, and we're curious to know how you all out there would divvy it up. So do you agree with me, though, if Tate were to miss time again, your top dog is Isaiah Crowell, man?
Absolutely, and I definitely do. And the one thing, Nathan, as you continue to make your point, is that popped into my head is these coaches have to be focused on winning, not keeping the guys in the locker room happy. You know, this coach and Mike Pettine has said it, that we're going to put the best 11 football players on offense and defensive on the field that give us the best opportunity to win a football game. If that happens to be, if Isaiah Crowell gets 18 of those reps and Ben Tate gets 14 or 12, that has to be okay, because if they've truly bought in to his system and his way of thinking, the team has to know that his best interest is at heart when he makes every small, tough decision for this football team moving forward.
No, you're right. And I think that it is possible that as the season progresses, that's the way it goes. I certainly don't think it's without question that Crow could end up taking this thing over here. I think Tate will always play a large role because of just how good he is. He's familiar with the zone scheme. He's looked good. He runs hard as well. Physical guy, very good in pass pro, good hands, caught 34 balls a year ago in Houston. How would you guys do it? Do you agree? Are we on the right track? We're of like mind, but it doesn't mean we're necessarily right. What do you guys think about this Browns running back situation? Let's go to Dan in Middleburg Heights now. Dan, welcome to CBD.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Hey, bud.
You guys are on the right track. I want to go one step further. I go back all the way with Jim Brown and Bobby Mitchell in the old days, okay? And what I think Matt Wilhelm will appreciate this. You want to keep defenses honest.
Yep.
What I would do if I was offensive coordinator, I would remove and do away with this blocking fullback concept. I can't believe that the NFL does this, because it tips off what you're going to do. Because of the talent of our backs, and in my opinion, overwhelming talent is Crowell above the other two guys, although they all are interchangeable. As a offensive coordinator, I would run two backs, any one of those combinations, featuring Crowell, and have them both 100% all the time, and forget about the blocking back, because then you can run flares. They can block for each other. They're all equal or pretty close in ability. And if you want to stack the box, well, then Matt Wilhelm, who's ever the linebackers over there, are going to have to deal with two people, not one, and you're going to have a defense playing more honest.
And does that work
and also
from a
you'll
practical
get production.
Standpoint?
You'll get production from the runners, and they'll all get more playing time.
Let me ask you a question, Dan. In your mind, how are they aligned in the backfield?
It won't matter. The way I see this talent, they can be interchangeable. That's the beauty, and you don't have to be bringing guys in and out of the lineup. Because in the NFL, these people look to see who your personnel is. If you leave the same guys in all the time, then the defense has to leave their guys in, and they don't know which way you're going to go.
Yep.
Nathan, I'll touch on this really quick. Just again, from a defensive scheme and personnel standpoint, is there's a personnel grouping called 20 personnel. That means two backs and no tight ends. That is where I would see two of these backs coming on the field. But what you sacrifice is, again, I said no tight ends. That means taking Jordan Cameron off the field, so you have three wide receivers, and or you could potentially have, you know, Hawkins and Austin, maybe Jordan Cameron split out and have those two backs, you know, out of the backfield. It's something to prepare for, and it's a lot of why I like the two quarterback scheme or those trick plays. It's a different personnel group that gives a Baltimore Ravens or Pittsburgh Steelers or, you know, a team that we're going to see again, something to prepare for down the road. And again, with Jordan Cameron being able to run routes like a receiver, he becomes a significant matchup problem. And having those backs running routes, scatting, you know, out of the backfield, you're still able to get five receivers out into a route, which give Brian Hoyer a great opportunity to throw the football. Hard thing is, when both those two come on the field, there's very little chance of run, because I don't think you have Crowell blocking for West.
That's
or West
point.
Blocking
right.
for Tate, or vice versa.
Right. The fullback's in there, and they do a lot of stuff when Ray Agnew is in there in terms of running and also utilizing play action with Ray Agnew in there. I don't think it's tipped off what the Browns are doing per se.
No.
You're just not going to see. You're never going to see these guys line up in an eye. You're never going to see Tate and Crowell in kind of an offset eye. You're not. You know, maybe in a pro set where you can decide, but neither one of these guys. None of these guys are lead blockers, and you're not utilizing them as lead blockers going forward. To me, that's not. You know, that's not what you're doing. So I don't think you're.
No, it would be. Yeah, it would be Nathan. If I saw anything in my head, seeing those two guys walk on the field together, it would be Hoyer, but you know, in the gun, and those guys by his side on each side in a true passing situation.
And that works better. Back to San Diego, when you've got LaDainian and Darren Sproles, so you have the threat of still the inside handoff to either one of them, and both can run pass routes. I don't think that's what the Cleveland Browns have right now in their backfield. I think that the ground game is working, so I don't have a problem with Ray Agnew or what the fullback position being a part of what Kyle Shanahan does. I have no problem with that, and it's been a part of what he's done all the way back to Houston when they had Vickers. They've had Vonta Leach in this offense as well, paving the way for Arian Foster. So I have no problem with a fullback. It was Darryl Young in Washington who did it for Alfred Morris, who was very successful those 2 years that he's been there with Kyle Shanahan. So I don't have a problem with that. I don't see that being a utilization. I think when you think about the tailbacks on this team, it's a one-back system from a tailback perspective, and it's just going to be a matter of who's on the field when and who's getting all the love. I think that, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see, and I think we're also going to have the maturity of these young players tested once Ben Tate comes back, because somebody or both of them are going to see a significant decrease in playing time. And I would say, if anything, right now, you and I seem to be of like mind that the person who's going to have a significant decrease is going to be West, not Crowell.
You're right. And I'll say this, Nathan, even moving forward, is the one other person that I'd love to see, and you bring up a great point in regards to maturity, is let's just see how much of a professional Ben Tate is, you know, if – you know, they're going to give the ball to Crowell as a hot hand, and he's seeing his numbers. You know, if he wants to be at 18 to 20 carries and he's getting 13 to 15, you know, and Carell and him are going 50-50, how is he going to adapt to not being the number one guy? And the one thing, and the reason why I say that, is the one thing that I don't want to happen is you're winning football games, you're competing, you're taking steps as a team in the right direction, and you have a player extremely unhappy or voicing his opinions throughout a locker room full of positivity. He's that one negative light because he's not feeling like he's being used properly within this offense.
It's true, and that's going to be something to watch from a chemistry standpoint, chemistry in that room, chemistry in the locker room. How do these running backs handle this situation now? Because it's a Browns team that went from a year ago having zero capable running backs to now having three incredibly capable running backs, but still there's only one football to feed all of those mouths. That'll be interesting. We want to continue to get your thoughts on that. 216-578-0850 as our show rolls on. Again, Nathan Zagura in the Dog Bowl in Berea, powered by Liberty Ford. And, of course, Matt Wilhelm right now out at the PNC Bank in Fairlawn on West Market Street. Go check him out. Mary Kay Cabot will join us next. We'll also have Frank Stams at 2 o'clock and Dakian for the Friday forecast at 2:30. We'll be back with more Mary Kay Cabot right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.